I want you to meet Dustin and Angel. If Angel's able to come, you can come. But if not, let's welcome Dustin Madrum this morning. I'm going to just embarrass them for a second. So Dustin and Angel have worked with us at the Link for Youth over in Cedar Cliff. And I met this guy. Actually, Travis wanted me to mentor him a little bit, and so I was meeting with him, and then he said, hey, this guy Dustin wants to come along, and so Dustin came. We started hanging out a little bit, got to meet these guys. They're only married a little over a year, you know, and they got a baby already, and that's wonderful, and they're so cool. And we were at the Senators game, and Dustin leaned over to me and said, this is in June, he said, Pastor Rich, I want to come and help you with youth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's more than I could ask for, but I was asking for it, you know. So why don't you just share who you guys are, just a little bit of your testimony, and just let people get to know who you are and what you're thinking about, okay?
Oh, what I'm thinking about, that's a loaded thing right there. This is my wife and my beautiful son, Angel and Jeremiah. Jeremiah is October 29th. He'll be 4 months. And we've just started teething, becoming alert, stuff like that. So grabbing everything, grabbing daddy's beard, all this stuff. So it's been quite an adventure. Yeah, I approached Pastor Rich over youth. My whole life can be summed up as fatherlessness and then finding a father. I grew up without a dad, single mom. He left when I was like one or two, I believe, was a drinker, things like that. My mom did her best to raise me. She did a good job. But being a single mother and being kind of an old school single mother, you parent a little bit different. You're a little harder, especially me being a boy. She was a little bit harder on me, and there was some physical stuff and all that. And it was just hard growing up. I grew up lonely. I grew up angry. I was happy for a little while. Then I started getting into school. I would get bullied here or there, learn how to fight back with my words, learn how to be sarcastic, learn how to cut people down, stuff like that. That's how I learned to defend myself. I got into high school. I wanted to fight all the time, just angry, depressed. Started drinking my senior year. Ended up getting to be a super senior, so I did 5 years of high school. I didn't like doing homework. Guys, do your homework. It matters. It matters. It matters. And I can joke about it, but I'm so serious. There is nothing worse than watching your friends leave and start their life in the world, and you have to stay behind, and everybody knows why you stayed behind. Everybody in that school knows why you're there, and it's a terrible feeling. Went through high school. Angry and all that, trying to fight and all that. I was a big guy, played football, lifted a lot, so nobody wanted to fight me, so I got even angrier. Got out of high school, was in and out of bars, just trying to do my own thing, trying to start fights and stuff like that. And it's so funny because I spent my whole life looking for a fight, and I've only ever actually been in one fight. One physical fight. I've been in a bunch of spiritual ones now. But it's definitely funny looking back. I look at myself in high school and middle school and out of high school, and I was silly, man. I was silly. But I get into healthcare. I did 6 years of healthcare work. Geriatric. I worked in assisted living, two different assisted living facilities. So got to take care of old people, learn how to give out medicine. Was a medicine technician. And in that job, which was a female-dominated job, so I did things I wasn't supposed to do. I felt like if I wanted it, I was going to get it, and just started living that life. And it didn't matter if people were married. It didn't matter if there were boyfriends. Didn't matter if there were fiancés. If I wanted it, I took it. Ended up meeting somebody who, in a roundabout way, she was, is not Ethiopia. It was, I think it's north of Ethiopia. And I can't remember the name of the country. But that was where she was from. And she would push me and push me and push me to go to church, to go to church, go to church. You need to start going to church. Like, and she would say, like, honey, I love you, but the way you're living, you're going to die. You need to go to church. So she actually lied to me and got, because she said that she had been to this campus before of the church that I went to. It's Mountain Church down in Maryland. So I went, and she, after I went, she said that she didn't actually, she went to the church, just not that campus. But I continued to go. Was still trying to live a double life. I was, I had a girlfriend and a girl I was living a double life with. She had a fiance and a kid. And I tried, I was so messed up that I actually tried to bring her to church to help her. So there you go. So yeah, it's funny. Start learning about Jesus. Just, it was a slow burn. It just slowly started infiltrating. But I was still trying to battle depression and stuff like that on my own. I remember one night I ended up crying myself to sleep. And I prayed for, I remember I prayed for, because I had no friends. I was praying for a tribe of friends. The youth group I worked at before I got to the Link was called Tribes. Prayed for a godly wife. Prayed for, and prayed for financial stability, because I was living credit card to credit card. Literally credit card payment to credit card payment, because I had two credit cards maxed out. And I would pay them off and then use them again. Just all kinds of messed up. Living with my best friend who I hadn't talked to in like 3 months. We lived in the same house and wouldn't talk to each other. He was living with his girlfriend at the time. It was nothing but depression, yelling, just all the angry things. Moved out, moved back in with my mom. Faith was starting to get more. Oh, and the last thing, he answered every prayer. The last thing that I prayed was that I wouldn't wake up. So, yeah, he literally prayed every prayer, he literally answered every prayer except the last one. And I just to warn you guys, I am a crier. I get awful. I either yell or I cry. So it's one of the two. So I'm living with my mom. I'm trying to pursue Jesus, but I'm just getting knocked down with depression and anger and stuff. One night, it was like a little pocket knife razor thing. I had it on the edge of my wrist, and I was ready, and I went to pull it, and I don't know how to explain it, but I physically could not. I'm a strong man. I can bench press 300 pounds. I can squat 700, and I could not pull that knife across my wrist, and I was trying. I took the knife away because I was pressing it into my wrist. There was no mark. I have marks on my arm from previous self-harm when I was about 18, 19. But that moment, he wouldn't let it happen. From that moment on, it was like things just started falling off. I remember texting the females that I was with, hey, I can't do this anymore. It's just not right, and I can't do this. It was met with, oh, you're this, you're that, you, a whole bunch of four-letter words and all the angry stuff, and I was, and for whatever reason, it was in that moment that I knew that it was like, I'm doing the right thing. Kept moving, ended up, and this is the funny part. So I'm listening to all these podcasts. I'm listening to as much. I'm just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm just trying to fill my brain. I met a girl, not Angel, sorry. But I met a girl on Christian Mingle, oddly enough. It was at the beginning of COVID. My church that I was going to down in Maryland had shut down. She was going to a church that they were just starting back up because they were building a new building, so they had a tent outside. So she took me to her church, and that's where I ended up getting saved. Oddly enough, she showed me a video of, like, hey, this is kind of what our church is about, if you're wondering. She shows me a video, and I'm like, well, this guy's a heretic. All he was doing was, like, preaching the love of Jesus and, like, all this stuff. And I didn't know any better. I'm just like, I've always been hard-headed, stubborn, all that. So I'm just like this. He ended up being a great friend of mine. But I got there, and I realized, like, how angry and depressed I actually was. Ended up getting saved, baptized that October of 2020. When I got saved, it was a, like, semi kind of altar call. It was just more of that raise your hand if you're feeling this. I raised my hand because he was just checking off things. I raised my hand, and I had a few people lay hands on me, on my head, on my shoulders. And then all of a sudden, it felt like, I don't know, it just felt like there were hands from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet touching every square inch of me. And it was just a weight that I've never, like I said, I was strong. It was a weight that I have never felt before fall on me. My legs shook the rest of the day because it was just that much work to keep myself up. I cried for the next hour and a half. And I just said, Jesus, I felt like I was going to explode if I didn't just scream out the name of Jesus. So I screamed out the name of Jesus, and I've never looked back. And the rest is history. So,
I walked out of a lot of darkness when I met the Lord. I don't know how many details we're going to share, but if you want to sit down and talk, I love doing that.
Yeah, it's really hard to get to know somebody out of, like, just a few minutes, so I love Diner Church. I love Starbucks Church, Coffee House Church, so anytime anybody wants to sit down, I'm free.
there was a lot of darkness in my life. We'll just give you brief details, but right before I met the Lord, I was high 24/7. I was in a toxic relationship, just smoking. I was probably sober maybe 3 hours out of the day, partying on the weekends, at the place where I was doing psychedelics to heal, or I thought I was healing. I was selling my body online. That was the work that I walked out of. I got in a lot of debt because of that. Went across the country to Costa Rica to partake in some crazy intense psychedelics, which was an entirely demonic experience looking back on it now, but it was what jump-started me to seeking out Jesus fully. They talked about the Bible. It was a twisted belief that they had, but growing up, so I grew up in a Christian home, but I never saw my parents really praying, never saw them reading the Bible outside of church, so I didn't know much about the Bible. I just knew that was what we believed, and so this place that I went talked about the Bible, so I was like, okay, so that's true. Like, they're actually telling me what I want to know. That's true. And so I came home, and I was full-blown in the New Age beliefs and all the things, and didn't really know how I got there. I just came home, and that was my life suddenly. But I knew I wanted to go to church because they talked about the Bible, and I was an all-or-nothing kind of person. So I went to church with my family. My sister had invited me that Sunday. I think I came home on a Saturday, and then I went the following day. And little by little, like, I thought that they were just, like, Christians were just immature spiritually and couldn't handle everything that I knew and all the things. I was like, yeah, that works for you. That's what you believe. That's fine. But I could still go to church alongside of them and get something out of it for me. And it was 6 months of going to church and going home to my boyfriend and smoking and just talking about all these things. Like, I think they're right here. They might be wrong here. Just talking it out for 6 months. And then I decided to volunteer for VBS, and it was the first year the church did VBS. And that was one of the things I did growing up. So I had a special place in my heart for VBS because for some reason it really touched me. And I knew that I could go and volunteer and just love on the kids. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to put my beliefs on them. I'm just going to love on the kids because I know how important that is. And by the end of the week, I was helping with the fifth and sixth graders. And there was a little fifth grade girl, very special place in our hearts. But she prayed a prayer on the last day of VBS that said, somebody in this room doesn't feel like they're a part of our family. And Lord, I just pray that you would show them that they are. And that was the first time that I knew that that was about me. I was like, why do I know that prayer is about me? And the following, so that would have been on a Thursday, that Sunday was baptisms. And I watched all of these kids that were in my VBS group get baptized. And I spent the whole Sunday just bawling my eyes out, and I had no idea why. Not a clue. And it was the first Sunday that my parents weren't with me. So up until that point, my parents had gone with me, and we would leave right away, so I never talked to anybody. That Sunday, they weren't there, so I lingered. And then Dustin here turned around and asked me if I wanted to get baptized. And that was when I told him I had questions, and I knew from BBS, I knew that I had to sit down and be honest with somebody and tell them everything that was going on in my life, because after 6 months of going to church, I knew, I was like, okay, I'm either completely right or I'm completely wrong, and I have to make a serious decision here. And that was where I was at. So I sat down with him. He shared the gospel with me. He heard everything that I was doing, encouraged me to walk away from all of it. I walked away from the work I was doing that day, never smoked again. Stopped partying, stopped all the things. Broke up with that boyfriend not long afterwards. So just fun testimony out of that I like sharing is what I walked away from was I was in a lot of debt. Made a ton of money, but was not financially smart at all. Was living in another part of the world and spending all the money trying to prove that what I was doing was worth it. And so I was $46,000 in debt to the IRS. At this point, and I had set up a monthly payment of $3,000 to keep myself motivated to pay it off in a year. So when I walked away knowing I had a $3,000 a month payment that I had to make. And so in my head, I was like, this is never going to work. And he hooked me up. He was cleaning with friends of ours from the church and got me a job with them too. So I started cleaning toilets. I went from making six figures a year to cleaning toilets. And I had no idea how it was going to work out. And then a bunch of connections down the road later, I amended my taxes, and the person that helped me with it showed me that I really only owed $3,600, and I had already paid $3,000. So I really only owed $600, and I overpaid in one part of the taxes where they actually owe me money now. So that was just the crazy way that Jesus showed up, and is a ton of small testimonies that are really, really big, but that's a really fun one to share. So.
Yeah, $46,000 too, you owe me money.
And then we were both really involved in youth group, and we got to see a ton, just grow close with a ton of teenagers, and just, yeah, I'll let you keep talking from there.
So, that was the starting at Tribes, which was the youth group at Providence Community, which is where we go, and it was I met a man named Tom Sipling, who really poured into my life, and I was able to sit under, and I remember the one time, it's like, because I asked him, I remember he gave the message one Sunday, and I went up, and I was just floored, and I'm crying, and I just put my face in his chest and was like, I really feel like you're supposed to teach me discipline. And from that moment on, he taught me discipline, and it was really hard, but his whole thing was, I'm not going to train you to be a pastor. I'm going to train you to be a man. God will call you to be a pastor. And it was honestly something that I've never had a man in my life that stuck around. Like, there were scout leaders, there was baseball coaches, football coaches, all those kind of things. But this was a man that actually sacrificed time to let me and eventually Angel into his life, and just poured out everything that he had for me. And that is the model that Angel and I have taken when it comes to youth. Our house is open. Our lives are, like I said, I cry, I'm sorry. But our lives are open. It's how Jesus walked. It's how Tom walked, and it's how we're going to walk. And a few rows back, we have Anderson, Abby, and Sarah. They go to the Link for Youth, which is where, well, I work now. Angel used to work with me. And going from youth group to the Link was a culture shock, definitely. When you see kids that could care less about this guy named Jesus, and it's like you go to sit down with them and you start hearing those four-letter words again, and you start seeing middle fingers, and you start seeing this, and you start seeing bandanas because they want to be gang affiliated, and you start seeing them on the news, and you start seeing them on the police blotters, and it gets really real quick. And the saddest thing is, I remember we stood up and we talked about them being loved, and that has been the hardest challenge, is just to let a 13-year-old kid know that they can feel loved. Like, no 13-year-old should ever have to wonder whether or not they're loved, let alone not even believe it when somebody offers. So at the Link is, right now, it's myself. Travis is heading up our team, and then we also have Paloma, and we're the program directors there. And the fruit that has come out of that place has been extraordinary. There's a lot of issues still going on this year. The enemy does not fight fair. Yeah, so we've had two suicide attempts and an arrest. So the biggest thing we can do is just pray for them. To let them know that they're loved. I actually got to see one of the young lady that tried to commit suicide. She's doing good. So she looks bright, and she wants to come back, and she's doing good. Also, Angel and I have recently, it was last week, right? But we announced we're officially, unofficially, we are starting our own ministry. It's just kind of a thing that Angel and I are doing. It's called Love and Obey. And basically, that's what I mean. Like, our house is open. Any youth that need help, if you want us to come and sit down and talk with them, anything like that. And we're also going to be doing a youth rally on November 9th from 3 to 5. It's a Saturday. Here, and it is going to be, I don't know all the things that are going to happen, but I definitely feel like God's going to move. I feel like ever since Angel and I have come into this church, it has just been, I remember the first day we came, and it was like, this place just feels like a house of prayer that, like, I've never felt before, that we walked in, and it was an air of peace, and I told Pastor Rich this, I think it was last week, but it definitely feels like it's that upper room moment, and the peace, there's peace in there, don't know what's about to happen, but the wind is about to blow, and it's just going to shake everything, so we're really excited, and Pastor Rich, I just want to say, because this is a Pastor Appreciation Day, so I want to let you know, there's not many men that I've met that serve the way you serve. You don't care about recognition. You don't care about being seen. You come and you do what needs to be done, and you love on the people while you do it. And there's just really not many men like you anymore. But seeing you operate the way that you do is absolutely beautiful, and your gentleness is something to behold. So thank you.